I went to Astro Camp this week. If you don't know what it is, imagine that you did not accept Jesus into your heart and got damned to eternal hell. I'm just joking. Just joking. It's a science camp for children. My brother taught me about tracking your sleep. Got to take care of the machine. So I track my sleep. I wear my watch to sleep, and then it tracks my tossing and turning. And then in the morning, like, you can check, and it has, like, green circles for good sleep, and it tracks how much you sleep and all, heart rate, the whole deal. And in the last 2 weeks, there's been a lot of red circles in my sleep because I took the kids to Washington, D.C., and then to Astro Camp. And for them, it's like the biggest, they are so excited. I can't think of a thing that I've been that excited for recently. Like, the kids are just absolutely jacked to be there. And I don't want to spoil it with my old man grumpiness. So I try and practice awareness, but if you don't get sleep, like, it affects you. The reason I'm saying that is they have, like, in Astro Camp, they have quiet hours where it's like the kids are supposed to be quiet from 10 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning, which is like standing in front of an avalanche and being like, shh, get crushed. So I try and, like, I like to wheel and deal with the kids, right? Carrot and the stick type of deal. I don't mind if you stay up as late as you want. You can stay up till 2 in the morning talking about who you have a crush on. And they're, ooh, and they don't do that. But there has to be a reasonable, like, level of quiet. The problem is that most middle school boys don't know how to whisper. So they only know how to talk like this. And so I had, like, it was quiet time, and then I usually stay up till about 11, you know, because I got to get my sleep because I'm the one in charge. And so, I tell them to be quiet at 10, and then they're not being quiet. So I go out there. Shh, guys, remember, we're just trying to be quiet. We want to be respectful of our neighbors, right? Okay, Mr. Frazier, sorry. 20 minutes later, come back out there. Quiet. This goes on till about midnight. And I'm like, all right, it's time. No more funny business. The time is now to be quiet. Sorry, Mr. Frazier, sorry. It's all right, I don't mind, you know, just got to be quiet now. I go back and I'm drifting off to sleep. I have an app on my phone that, like, makes different white noises, like from waves to a trickling brook, Jude, to, like, even like an oscillating fan. And I'm drifting off to sleep when I hear the obnoxious guffaws of these children again. I don't know if you've ever been angry with your children to the point where you got to move fast, like the inertia of your body will somehow, like, discipline them more. It was like I was in my sleeping bag one moment, and half a second later, I was, like, marching towards the door. Kaboom! I just exploded out of my sleeping bag. With a full head of steam, I'm walking towards the door ready to rip it open and rah, rah, rah. And as I was walking, the Lord just called me to my senses. I've never had anything like it happen before. But I was just, I was angry. I imagine that my face was like a mask of irritation. And as I was walking through, it was like somebody just turned on the lights. And I realized how ignorant and how crazy it was that I was going to come and yell at these children. And it just drained away. And I had a peace. And I went in there, not out of anger, which is a big deal for me. And I went in there and I was like, gentlemen, this is the fourth time I've come to talk to you. I need you to be quiet. It's important. And there was just, they said, okay, Mr. Frazier. And not a peep afterwards. It was a revelation. It's that peace that passeth understanding. I had gotten children to be quiet before through scaring them, through punishing them, Dude, you will do what I say. It's just a matter of how bad it's going to hurt before you do it. But that time I came in and I felt a peace that I think they could feel. And I walked into the room and all of these stinky young boys who's sweating and didn't shower and lied to me about showering and washing their feet and brushing their teeth just sensed my calm assurance. And then I went back to sleep. And then they woke up at 6 a.m. and I had to go through it all over again. But it's in those moments of peace that we see the clearest. You cannot see the world as it really is when you are angry. You think you can. That's the real problem. You cannot see the world as it really is when you're afraid, when you're jealous, when you're arrogant. You can only see the world as it really is when you're calm and peaceful in your mind. And that's what we want. That's what I want to talk about today. The world that you see and the world that I see may not be the same thing, right? I always use the example of, in the internet, they call them Karens. These are women who want to speak to your manager and are very upset. They don't see themselves as the bad guys, right? They see themselves as the wronged party who's trying to get justice, where the rest of us, or the people who are watching them, see them as the person who's being unreasonable. Do you understand? We see the world through our eyes and ears and our senses, and then we create a picture in our mind of what it is. So we have the world as we see it. Then we have a vision of the world as we want it to be. I want the children to be quiet so that I can sleep. I'm hearing their loud voices and irritated at the fact that they will not be quiet. And so I'm seeing it as filled with disrespectful young people. You understand what I'm saying? But then there's the world as it actually is. And our pain comes from our decision to try and fit a square peg into a round hole. You see the world a certain way, and so you're trying to force it into being. But you cannot do that. It's impossible. A person who comes into Trader Joe's and rants and raves at the employees is not only upset at Trader Joe's. Do you see? That person lives in a world where they see a world filled with hostility. Kids these days. When I was a kid, people respected their elders. You know how many times I've heard that, Steve? 1,000 times. If I had a penny for every time I heard that, I'd have like 1,000 pennies. We see the world a certain way. Drive through traffic, and we see all these idiots in our way, slowing us down from our important business. But the reality is, we're one of those idiots. And the other people are looking at us like, how is this person in a 2008 Subaru Impreza driving so slowly? And then I look at this guy rushing past me, I'm like, this guy's a maniac. Got a death wish? And we're all looking at each other the way we see things. That's not how they are. If you can see things the way they really are, you will have peace. So, how does one find the peace? Jude, pay attention. Step one. Slow down. And become aware. The awareness of the Holy Spirit is what keeps us in contact with how the world really is. None of us would choose to be unhappy. None of us wakes up and thinks to themselves, man, I can't wait to be angry and bitter all day. And if none of us would choose to feel these feelings, then why do we feel it so often? It's because we're not aware. We're unconsciously going through our lives reacting to things that happen. You go into work and you see somebody and be like, oh my gosh, I've been doing all this and they're only doing that. You're not aware. You're comparing. So you get bitter and you see the world as unequal. We were at Astro Camp the last day. We go on a day hike. And the day hike is one of the trips, or is one of the events that the kids like less, because you have to walk on your feet uphill in the sun, which is not their favorite thing to do. It's also not my favorite thing to do, Connie. And wouldn't you know it, just as we were about to leave, two of the children had an allergy attack, couldn't go. Too sick to go. Too sick to walk. They were not too sick to do the other walking things. Only this thing they were too sick. I smelled a rat. Now, if the two of the kids can't go on the hike, well, we can't just leave these children behind. So Miss Wanda graciously offered to stay back with the children. I remember seeing her flipping through Instagram in the shade as I walked through the sun beating down as I entered the Bataan Death March with the children. And the kids didn't want to be there either. Why don't we have to have it? One child who will remain nameless, but whose first name starts with a J and last name starts with an F and rhymes with mood razor. You don't know her. Really didn't want to go on this trip. And she had a full hoodie and like pants on, so she was dressed as if we're going to the Arctic, even though we're walking through the Saharan desert. Why do we have to do this? Right? What are the other, why do they make us do the hike of the last day? We're trying to go. Why do they make us do the hike in the noon? We should have done the hike in the morning, right? All of these things that we should have done. And then I was thinking to myself, I bet Miss Wanda was sir. I became upset. But because I've been practicing, in years past, I would have just grumbled that whole trip. You can ask my family. When I was a child and we would all go on vacation, I was the one who says, I hate vacation. But I said vacation because I hated everything. I hated vacation. I hated anything that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. And so in years past, I would have grumbled the whole way. These kids, why do they pick up their feet kicking all this dirt? Ugh, why do we always have to stop where there's no shade? That was me for 1,000 years. And as I was walking, I was seeing the world as a miserable place filled with hot, dusty hikes. And then I began to envision a world where I was not going on hot, dusty hikes. Both of these worlds were not the actual world I was living in. And because I was holding on to them, I myself was suffering. Do you understand? The counselors who were taking us on the hike were like my brother. Look, these are the manzanita trees, children. Do you see how they have their berries? Look, they're in bloom. Jude, look at all the mountain spring flowers. I hate flowers. Why do you make me look at flowers? The counselors were in the world as it really is, because it was a glorious day to be alive. Jude and I couldn't see it, because we were focused on what we wanted to see. You understand? But fortunately, since I've been practicing, about a quarter of the way through the hike, I remembered to practice what I preach. Come up here every Sunday and tell people how to live their lives. Gabe, you better be able to do it yourself. And so I dropped to the back of the line as they were hiking, and I began to slow my breathing. and I tried to clear my mind of these self-sympathizing thoughts. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And you know what? He did. And as soon as I stopped thinking about all of the things that were wrong, about how lucky it was to be Miss Wanda sitting in the shade, as soon as I stopped trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, I was able to see the world for what it really was. And once I stepped into that peace, Jude backed me up, didn't I? Jude had a little more trouble, but that's okay. After the hike, she came up and she fessed up. Sorry, Dad. That's okay, baby. We're all working on our awareness. As soon as I was able to slow down and try and become aware of my feelings, aware of my thoughts, conscious, I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit that was showing me how silly and childish I was being. Then I didn't think to myself, you idiot, stupid, childish. It just dropped away. All of those self-pity thoughts, all of those judging and comparing. Do you understand? I was the benefit. I was the beneficiary of this, of the reality of the world. And I've been living in that so often that it's changed my life. We went to Astro Camp. Two of the teachers got 3 days off. And it would have been so easy for me to think about how come they get to do this and I have to do this. I still would have been going to Astro Camp. There was nothing that was changing that. Only my ability to see the world as it really is. Is it really so important, Gabe, that you have more time to stay at home and play video games? Would you really rather stay at home and sit on the couch than go to Astro Camp with your daughter? The thief steals from us because we are unable to be aware of his presence. So we go into a job that helps us pay our bills and raise our children, and we think about how miserable it is. And we think, if only I had a better job, if only I made more money. Robbed. Blind. Wake up. It's awesome. Your job does not suck. Have awareness and you will see the beauty in your job. That doesn't mean that you don't have to look for a better one. But it means that you can be happy right now in your current circumstances. Accept the world as it really is. The Bible verse, Lily, is Mark chapter 4, verse 21. You probably know this one by heart. Sarcasm's the last to go, Mom. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would not come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care of what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And more will be given to you besides, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. The lamp is the light of the Holy Spirit that gives us awareness of our world. And it is free, and it never runs out, and it's always inside of us. So, as I was coming back from Astro Camp, I was tired, I was sweaty from the hike, I had a lot of things going on, and I went to sleep, and I got up in the morning, and I went to Judy's volleyball game, and she won. Good job, Jude. She served in a million points. It was so awesome. And then afterwards, Jude was talking about, oh, Dad, I'm so sorry you have to go to work. And I was like, oh, yeah, baby, we got it, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, oh, because I want to do this, that, and the other. And I was... And then I started to daydream about if I had actually had the day off, all the cool things that I would get to do with my daughter and all the cool things I would get to do dude, if we had, if I had the day off, we'd go to Ross and we'd get some thing. We'd go to Baja Buds. And I started to daydream of all these cool things. Now, you may not think there's anything wrong with that. But as soon as I started to daydream of what I want, the reality was I was going to Trader Joe's. I wasn't doing any of those things. I was clocking in, brother. So by trying to think of, oh, dude, and then we could do this, dude. Oh, yeah, then we could do this. Daydream all of these things. Then the job at Trader Joe's becomes something that I don't want to do. I'd rather be doing this, but I have to do this. And then I think about how much I'd hate going to Trader Joe's. And then I think, well, I'd only have to go to Trader Joe's because I got the bills. And then I start resenting my bills. You understand? And my whole world becomes something that's negative. But because I've been practicing, as we were driving home, I was getting ready for Trader Joe's, and I began to slow my breathing. It helps because of all of those unconscious thoughts that you're not choosing to think. All of those fearful, worryful thoughts come into your mind, and they cloud out the reality. And so slowing your breathing focuses your mind on something that it is not those negative thoughts. And I began to slow my breathing, and I began to ask the Lord for help and awareness. And the lamp moved out from under the basket onto the bedstand and cleared my vision. I like Trader Joe's. My son works at Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is a cool place, and I enjoy being there. And I will spend time with my daughter later. I'm happy for Trader Joe's. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It frees me, dude. It just allows me, the chains fall right off, and I walk forward. It's so good. It is so very good. And it's free to everyone all of the time. And yet, miserable people just walking around. Why are you miserable? Because I had to go to work today. So? Why are you miserable? I got to go to school. Why do they even invent school? Why do they even invent school? What kind of a question is that? It is a glorious world we live in every day. And we just don't see it because we don't take the time to see it. We trade in bumper sticker sayings and cliches. Stop and smell the roses. You stop and smell the roses. But stop. Smell the roses. Dad used to know all the flowers. Gaby, look at the hyacinths over there. I don't care about the goddamn hyacinths, Dad. Because I was just thinking of all of the things, not consciously, walking through a world unaware. Things come into my life and I respond to them unconsciously. It's only when I take the time, through my own force of being, and He illuminates everything. Your fear of death, your fear of disease, the way that your children may be raised, the way that your spouse behaves, the way that your boss acts, all of it, nothing will remain hidden that will not be made manifest to the person that can do this. That's step one, Lil. Step two. Accept the moment as it is. When I was a child, I used to think like my daughter and my son thought, why did they even invent school? And then I started daydreaming. I wish they invented like a pill that you could like take and then you would like know everything. I wish I won the lottery so that I would have lots of money and I wouldn't have to go to Trader Joe's and I could spend time with my children. I wish I had this. I wish I was this. If only this happened. You wait around for life until it's too late and you realize it's passed you by. The moment right now that you have everything that you need right here, right now. Become aware of it and accept it. You're going to Trader Joe's, Gabe. Don't fight it. Your pain lies in your cognitive dissonance. What you want and what actually is aren't the same thing. And the pain resides in that space. You want your children to behave a certain way, but they're not doing it, and your pain lies right there. You want the bigger house, but you don't have it, and so the pain is right there. Accept what is and move forward. You have to go to school. You can fight it and make yourself miserable, or you can accept it and find the joy that is in every moment. In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says, "In every blade of grass, there I am. Lift a rock, there I am. Split a tree, there I am." Because he's everywhere. He's everything. The Lord is at Trader Joe's as much as he's at home in my Nintendo Switch. It's only my inability to see it. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to hurry up a little bit. You girls have been so good. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's from Hammurabi's code. It's like the oldest law code. And that's justice, right? So if I fight Todd and I punch him and he loses sight in an eye, then the king comes and he pokes out my eye. I build a house and it falls on Todd and it kills Todd, then they build a house and crush me with the house. Right? That's eye for an eye. That's justice. And that is, by the way, the current gospel. You sinned. The wages of sin is death. So you sinned. Now you're going to die. But don't worry. We're going to kill Jesus and then we'll just cover you and all that and then you're good. You've heard it say eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. That does not mean that you need to be a whipping dog who just accepts everybody's punishment. But it means that do not fight the things that are happening. Somebody wrongs you and then you think of how wrong they are. And you daydream about the justice that you're going to get. And you yourself feel the pain as they walk on with the rest of their lives. Somebody harms you, let it go for your own sake. Somebody takes your coat. We went to the Sacramento trip. We bought a bunch of cool things, and they stole it from Judy on the train. Some villain, some fiend, stole stuffed animals from a child. And my daughter was heartbroken because we bought some stuff for Lily and Aiden. And first I felt pain because my daughter was suffering, and then I felt a righteous anger, burning with the heat of 1,000 suns. Same thing happened with Lily, got her stuff stolen, and she was crying, and my heart broke. I love my niece so much. Those things meant so much to her. Who could have taken that? Ooh, if I found that person. Ooh, my goodness. Got my car, drove around. Where's that person? I gotta let it go. You understand? They're gone. They're gone. That doesn't mean that you can't file a police report and do all those things, but you must accept the moment as it is. If you try and force the world into what you want it to be, you will be the one who suffers. If I'm waiting for my coworkers to do something differently so that I can be happy, I'm going to be waiting a long time. I had to go to Washington, D.C., and then Astro Camp, and I felt sorry for myself, and I thought about how none of the other teachers have to do it. And in that moment of pain, I was able to find the reality of the situation. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I'm going to close with this. The peace that I felt these last 2 weeks is more valuable to me than anything I have ever had. The pain that sometimes life can deal out presents an opportunity for revelations and awareness if we'll practice what we preach. The other morning, I woke up to do my prayer time. And as I was praying, I was thinking of my family because I pray for them in my morning prayer time. And the love that I felt for the people in my life was so good. It was so good, I thought for a second, I can't take it. It's so good. Would I give that up to watch some more TV? Don't you see? Right here, right now. My daughter wept last night because of how much she missed her mother. And the devil threatened to take what is ours. But the Lord is faithful. And I sat down next to my daughter, and my son came and sat on the couch, and we held each other. Dude, so good. There's nothing hidden that cannot be manifest. There's nothing that can be taken that can't be brought back. It's here. It really is. Right now. Wake up and take it. Because it's so good. Thank you. Thank you for this time. I found the meaning of life, Todd. And it's glorious. We're going to talk about it, Steve. We're just going to talk all day about it. And Jude's going to listen to it on the way home in the car. And she's never going to get any McDonald's with Lily. She's just going to have to talk about it all the time. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes, we'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you. You said it's better that I go, because I'm going to send you a helper, and he's going to lead you into all the truth, and that truth will set you free. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you for your truth. Help us, Lord, to remember, to listen to your guidance, and to see it. Help us, Lord, to wake up from our unconsciousness. Help us, Lord, to take a moment to focus our thoughts, connect with your spirit, and live in the reality of your goodness. Protect us, heal us, and bring us back next week filled with praise reports of your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You guys saying that?